Well, good morning, church family, and I hope you are doing well on this wonderful morning, Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter Sunday. Anyway, I hope and pray that this worship service that you have been a part of has been a wonderful time where you've truly been able to experience our Heavenly Father's great love for you and have been able to see Jesus much more clearly. Over these past several weeks here in our church, we've been talking about the seven sayings on the cross. Those seven sayings that Jesus said while he hung on the cross. And just for a quick review before we dive into today's scriptures, which were just read, Jesus said, as he is being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He also called out at one time, says, "I thirst." When he saw his mother standing with the apostle John, he said, "Woman, here is your son." And he told John, he said, "Man, this is your mother." And we saw last week, right before Jesus died, where he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." There are several other things that Jesus said, but today we're going to look at his final words before he breathed his last. Jesus says, he said, "It is finished." So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. We're going to look at these three verses again, and we've already looked at these verses the past couple weeks. But before we get started, I have a question for you and for me. Have you ever been given a task, a job project at work, or homework or something where you truly felt you couldn't do it? You were unable to do it. You weren't capable of doing it. You weren't smart enough to do it. You weren't physically or mentally able to do it. Have you ever done it? If you know me well, you know that growing up, I played a lot of sports, and a lot of my stories have to do with athletics. It was a huge part of my life. But I want to share a story with you that happened this past Wednesday. You know, because of all the social distancing and having to stay safe at home, you know, my exercise routine is a little different these days. And my neighbor does CrossFit, and so he's invited me, along with my two boys, Samuel and Eric, to exercise with him. So he's on his driveway, we're on our driveway, that or we're running laps around the block. We're keeping social distance. But this past Wednesday, our exercise routine was so long and so hard, I thought when we started, there's no way I could finish. And guess what? I didn't finish. After about 70% of the exercise, I quit. I gave up. I literally was too tired and too exhausted to go on. Well, you know what? That was not the case for Jesus. He actually finished his Father's will. So here in John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, I'm going to read it again very quickly, and then we're going to dive in and see what it says. This is God's word, verse 28. "After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now fulfilled that the scripture said, so it might be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I'm thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was sitting there. So they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." I want to focus on that phrase right there. "It is finished." You see, when Jesus said that, he knew that all of Scripture was fulfilled. And it wasn't a declaration of defeat, like he was done and he couldn't go on anymore. It was a proclamation of victory, of glorious victory, because Jesus knew that he had fulfilled his Father's will. You see, all throughout the Gospels, it's very clear. Jesus said many times to his disciples and also to the Pharisees and to the world, to those who followed him, he said he came to do his Father's will. He came to fulfill his Father's will. You see, we'll look at this in a minute, but Jesus came for several reasons. He came to reveal the Father. He came to fulfill the Father's will. He came to die on the cross as atoning sacrifice for you and for me, because our Father in heaven, he loves us dearly and longs to be reconciled back to us. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said to his disciples, he said, "The food I have is to do the will of my Father." And right here, right before he breathed his last, right before he gave up his spirit, Jesus declared, "It is finished." Unlike me, when I couldn't finish the exercise routine, Jesus finished what God's purpose was for him in his life. It's like a marathon runner when he crosses the tape and he breaks that tape and he raises his hands. He's finished. It's like a sports team, like in the World Cup or the NFL Super Bowl, when they finally win or they score a touchdown or they make that last shot or they score that goal, when they raise their arms up, or it's when a golfer makes that super long putt and the place goes crazy when the ball goes into the hole and he lifts his putter up as victory. Jesus declares it is finished because he's fulfilled the Father's will for you and for me. You know, we call this day, many of us call it Easter. I love calling it Resurrection Sunday because we declare Jesus' resurrection. He was raised from the dead. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. But in order to get to today, Resurrection Sunday with the empty tomb, you have to get back to the cross when he's bleeding to death, hanging on that cross, and he declares, it is finished. Jesus accomplished his Father's work and his will that he had for him. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, if you want to look it up later, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, sorry, I reversed it. Hebrews 12, 3, it says that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. So look it up. Look up those three verses in the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews. But for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the pain of the cross, scorning its shame. What was that joy? It was the joy of him knowing that he was fulfilling his Father's will. And he was pouring his life out as a living sacrifice to be the bridge, to be the door, to be that new way in order to redeem this lost and broken world. So Jesus declared, it is finished. Now, some of you might be wondering, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? And I want to share the gospel story with you because there might be some of you who've gone to church your whole life, but you've never truly understood the gospel. Or maybe you're hearing this for the very first time. You see, our Heavenly Father, we have a God who's a loving, incredible Father. And he created everything that we see. He created both the seen and unseen, everything from the galaxies to the tiny, tiny, smallest, minuscule cell. He's created it all. And he's created us as humans as the crowning jewel of his creation. We were created in his image. And he's blessed us tremendously. But scripture is very clear, and scripture says that everyone has sinned. Sinning, it's not only breaking God's covenant law, it's not only breaking what he desires, but it's missing the mark. It's like if you shoot an arrow at a target and your arrow completely misses the target. That is what sin does. We completely miss what God has for us. We're sinners. It's part of who we are as humans. And the Bible says that we're born dead, even though we have physical life. Spiritually, we're utterly dead in our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions. And the Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. That's in a spiritual, eternal death. The wages of sin. It's the consequences of sin. And because you have sinned, because I have sinned, we will die physically. But not only die physically, we're dead spiritually. And when we die, the Bible says that every human will live one time, just once. We won't be reincarnated again, but we'll live one time. And after that, we will face judgment. We will stand before our Heavenly Father. We'll be judged, and we'll have to give account for our life. And because we're sinners, because we're born dead into sin, we're eternally separated from our Father. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible news that we're dead, and the wages of sin is death, eternal condemnation in hell. Our Heavenly Father does not desire that. He desires for all people to be saved. And it says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for our sins. You see, Jesus was the only human who was perfect. He never sinned. He shares our human nature, but was without sin. Jesus, being the Son of God, he's also God incarnate, God in the flesh. And being the perfect human, it was God's will before creation ever happened that his Son, that Jesus would come. And Jesus voluntarily came, it says all throughout Scripture, that he willingly, he wasn't forced to come by his Father, but he wanted to come to fulfill his Father's will. So Jesus lived as one of us, but he was a perfect human without sin. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins, taking our punishment, what we so deserve. He died on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood. And then 3 days later, today, Resurrection Sunday, is why most churches gather together on Sundays the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's like a mini resurrection day. But today is the day that we remember that Christ rose from the dead. You see, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who's received Jesus as the Son of God, receiving like receiving a gift, God will make us his sons and daughters, his children. Because scripture says, anyone who has the Son has life. Anyone who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And you see, scripture is very clear that if Jesus had never risen from the dead, his death on the cross would have been in vain. But you see, we celebrate Good Friday that we just celebrated a couple days ago, remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But he didn't stay hung on the cross. He was buried in the grave. And then Sunday today, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Now, what does this mean? And I want to invite you, and very briefly, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All throughout the New Testament, it talks about the importance of Jesus' resurrection. But right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 58, there's some powerful verses here that talk about what does it mean for the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead? You see, here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, starting at 50, Paul says that flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. The corruptible cannot inherit God's kingdom. It has to become incorruptible. The mortal has to become immortal. And he's talking about our lives. You see, because we're sinners, because we're born dead, we need to become alive. Jesus didn't come just to show us a better way. Jesus is the way. Jesus didn't come just to be an example of how we should live. We could be the best behaved humans on the planet, but we still have sin because we're dead. We need a new life, and that life is Jesus himself. So Paul talks about, he says, flesh and blood, our bodies can't inherit the kingdom. We need to be set free from this life, from this physical life, and we need to be made new, and we can only be made new through Jesus Christ. And I want to read a couple of these verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here in verse 50, this is what it says. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with the incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where death is your sting. You see, Paul is quoting a verse from Hosea. Where death is your victory, where, O death, is your sting. You see, because Jesus died and because he rose again, he holds the keys to both life and death. He lives forever and he can never die again. And because he has the power over life and death, for everyone who believes in Jesus, for everyone who confesses Jesus as Lord, for everyone who believes that his death on the cross is our forgiveness. And by receiving Jesus as a free gift, he gives us new life. And even if we are to die physically, we will rise again and we will get new life. When Paul talks about the trumpet shall sound, he's talking about Jesus' second coming. And everyone who's fallen asleep, it's a phrase that's used in the New Testament that refers to death, will rise again. And if Jesus were to come back while you and I are still alive now, our bodies will be transformed. And the scriptures talk about us getting a new body, an eternal body, and we'll become like Jesus. It's an incredible hope. It's not wishful thinking, but it's an incredible hope we have. And as we go through life, and so much has changed over this past month, with everything that is going on with COVID-19 and with social distancing, our lives are changing radically. And it can be very scary. But I shared this a couple weeks ago. I truly believe that we are like the disciples in the boat, and this storm has come upon our lives, and there's the wind and the waves, and we're scared to death. And we look out of that boat and we see Jesus walking on water. He's walking on the water. And Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And he says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and he starts looking and walking towards Jesus. But then he looks all around at the wind and the waves. He gets afraid. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink. And Jesus rescues him. And he says, oh, you have a little faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as we go through this life, our eyes need to be fixed on the Lord Jesus. Today is Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And the reason we celebrate is because he lives forever. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the righteous judge. He died on the cross for you and me. And I know many of you already believe in Jesus. But there are some of you who might be listening right now who've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you today, very simply, you can tell Jesus, you can say, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I confess that I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose from the dead. And I surrender and give my life to you. You know, here at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul says this in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have victory over sin. We have victory over death. Any trial or temptation that comes our way, we can have victory through Jesus Christ because he's gone before us. He walks with us. He'll strengthen and he'll sustain us. So I want to encourage you, if you're in love with Jesus right now, Paul finishes this chapter in verse 15 with some powerful words. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So I encourage all of us today, as we walk through this very new trial that we're living in, we love and we serve a risen King, King Jesus. And he's calling us to be immovable, to stand fast and to stand firm. And as we walk on this water with all the storms of life around us, may our eyes be fixed on Jesus. Today is Resurrection Sunday as we remember and celebrate that we have a risen King. And as we close this service, I want to encourage you to stand up. We're going to continue to worship him with more songs and more worships. God bless you. He loves you greatly. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. God bless.